Let's do a movie review in this segment. A movie review. I said it all in one syllable. With our a movie suggested by Matt McLaren.
All right.
You've suggested a few movies this week to me off the air.
I have.
Which I'm excited about. What was the McConaughey space one?
Interstellar.
Okay.
Which I think you will enjoy. Yeah, I think you'll like it.
I've liked everything else you've introduced me to this week, including your hair. So this movie is called The Last Blockbuster, and it's not new, right? This
right,
is a couple
yeah.
years old or a year old?
It's
on
yeah,
Netflix.
Right. It's on Netflix. It was released last year, late in the year. I think it came out like in December. Let's see.
Is this produced? Is this
yeah.
a film by Kevin Smith, who apparently is now Skinny, the film director?
I don't believe so. I think he was just in it.
Okay, he's a big player in it.
Yeah, because they got a bunch of guys on that level. So it was released last July. July 25th, 2020 is when this released, The Last Blockbuster. Bluster? On Netflix. Which I saw and was curious, because I had already known where it was. I was familiar somehow that there was only one left.
Where is it?
It is in Bend, Oregon.
Now, have you been there? Because apparently this is a tourist attraction now.
I have not been there, but I would like to go because there's a few breweries in Bend that I would like to go to.
Okay.
So that's the reason why I knew that Blockbuster was there is because of a couple of the breweries that I also have known that are in Bend, Oregon. But it's a fascinating story. And this is a, how'd you describe it? Like a pop-up video with it's a documentary that really feels like it's about a 50-minute documentary that they've woven in about another half hour of these random thoughts from people that you, I guess, are Z-less celebrities or something.
Yeah, I generally don't like this format of things, TV shows. I recently watched, like, the Comedy Central Top 100 Roast Moments.
Right.
And so, yeah, you get 2 minutes of some C-level comedian that you've never heard of saying, oh, man, when Pete Davidson was really giving it to old Justin Bieber, I just fell off my couch. And then they'll show like a 10-second clip, and then they go back to now Monique is talking about, oh, yeah, I remember when, you know. So they were kind of doing that. But still, I found it very interesting. I think the stuff in the beginning about the history of video and video rental.
Like that whole thing that I don't think people realize, one of the reasons why Blockbuster was successful was the fact that they took the mom and pop idea and basically shot it full of steroids. Okay, so like you would go down to, for instance, the store that I worked at in Rockwall, Video Village.
Uh-huh.
Oh, do you guys have whatever the new release is? Oh, well, we did, but we only had 5 copies. So Blockbuster very early on. And I don't know how many people knew that the first ever Blockbuster store was over off of Skillman and Northwest Highway.
That is something I noted that I did not ever
right,
know.
That opened in Dallas
so
in 1985.
So the first Blockbuster was Dallas.
Right, right, like right over there. I mean, that area is still there in the Medallion Shopping Center, which is still there.
And so the guy that invented it ended up selling it?
Yeah, to Wayne Huizenga, who owned the Miami Dolphins. And he grew it, and immediately once that happened, they realized if we cut a deal with the studios, instead of, and this is something, working at a video store that people never understood. Hey, you've got $20 in late fees. Oh, I'll just buy the movie. Okay, it's $145.
That's another thing I really had zero idea.
Yeah.
So to buy one of these movies, it was $100, $100-some.
Right.
Back in what, 80, early 80s, something
even,
like that.
I mean, I worked at the video store and I started there in 96. And even then, like if you wanted to buy a movie from us, brand new, it was $150, $200.
Oh, you do? So you have a memory of that?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, because people, it blew their mind. I was like, well, and then you have to realize that that's how the studio's making money, essentially, on these rentals and why we charge it. And you say you can only have it out for a day at a time so that you can turn it over as much as possible. There's a whole thing to that. Anyway, you see that what they did with Blockbuster was they cut a deal with the studio to where, hey, why don't we lower it? And they even described this, so instead of it costing $180 per movie, it costs $150, and so we'll buy more of them, and that way we never, like if you come to Blockbuster, we always have the new release that you want. And so people, and they just exponentially grew to where at the peak, I mean, It put Video Village out of business. It put a lot of mom and pop stores out of business, because what would happen? I mean, this is a great example. Over in Rowlett, the Dollar General that's there on 66, that was built to be a Video Village. Within 6 months of them opening that Video Village, Blockbuster put a store right across the street. And a year later, it was gone. And Blockbuster dominated it. You couldn't compete with them.
So I wonder if Blockbuster's emergence not only put the mom and pop out of business, did it create the adult bookstore, video store thing? Because one of the notes in the documentary was they did away with, there was going to be no back room. One of the famous things about the little video store was there was the back room.
And there was, like, we had a section
get a little
of
porn.
Not porn, more softcore, like late night Cinemax type stuff,
mm-hmm.
where we would have it where you had to get a key to unlock it to where you could pull down the shelf to where you could see what the movies were. Blockbuster didn't have any of that. Your
you
family,
had to go ask the
right.
cashier
yeah,
for that?
You did. Yeah, hey, do you mind? I'd really like to see Body Heat 5. Okay, sure. So Blockbuster, their whole thing was bring your family in here.
Yeah.
We have everything you want. It's probably more affordable, and we're not going to run out of the movies. And so they just replicated that everywhere to a point to where at its peak, and I wouldn't have guessed their peak was as late as it was. Their peak was like 2004. They had 9,000 stores across the country.
So that was 10 years after it was bought. So Huizenga bought it from the guy in Dallas who invented it. And then Huizenga sold it in 94, according to the movie.
Right.
For $8.4 billion.
Which, to
put
that...
He got out at a great time, I guess.
Put that in perspective, $8.4 billion. Disney paid $4 billion to acquire Marvel. And $4 billion to acquire Lucasfilm. So, Blockbuster...
That's how big Blockbuster was.
At $8.4 billion.
And then they started the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards.
Right.
And then, I guess, what, about halfway, they cited 2001 was when they started getting a little competition. TiVo started.
Right.
Redbox became a thing. And Netflix, of course.
And that's where the infamous story goes that Netflix at one point was going to sell to Blockbuster, that Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix for $50 million. And thought, nah, we're good.
So $50 million they could have had Netflix.
$50 million.
Because the inventors of Netflix are like, eh.
Right. Which they talk about in this documentary. And then from there...
Because Netflix used to be... I remember Bob had Netflix before I knew anyone else had Netflix.
Where they mailed you the discs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that.
Yeah, but they go in to say that it wasn't really Netflix that killed Blockbuster.
Right. I think it had, because Blockbuster then obviously tried to steal that idea, essentially. And they started offering where they would mail you the stuff.
Also, they had a note in there that said one of their ways, they stopped charging late fees. Like, as if that was going to stem the tide as well.
And that is, that I think combined with the Netflix thing, that's what did it.
Yeah, they said their profits got cut down to a third.
Right.
Well, they said the 2008 financial crisis is what really felled them, because apparently they were very cash-heavy. You know, Business Tuesday, I can only deal with these things on Tuesday.
Right. So cash-heavy means whatever. But
apparently they were leveraged. They were highly leveraged.
Yeah,
and
the late
a lot
fee
of
thing
debt.
Was
yeah.
huge. Like, you'd be surprised. I mean, if you rent a movie and it costs $3 a day and you don't turn it in for three more days... Well, they're charging you those late fees as though you just continually rent it, essentially.
So is this good business? If Viacom bought them for $8.4 billion and sold it for $340 million?
No. It's the opposite of what Jerry Jones did with the Cowboys.
So they took about an $8 billion bath on that.
And so this whole documentary goes through all this, but it also tells the story of the very last Blockbuster that is still in existence today in Bend, Oregon, and this woman who has been managing it with her family, essentially, sounds like she worked there for years, and she doesn't own it. It is owned by another company that just basically keeps having the option to renew it, and they keep it going.
Is it Dish Network that owns it?
I think it is, yeah, because okay. She was saying they still have, this blew my mind, two things in this. They still use the old computer systems that Blockbuster originally used, and they have all these old computers that were given to them from other Blockbusters that closed, so when they need to borrow parts, they can go to these old computers and fix them.
I didn't understand why they still use those.
I thought, man, you could put this on an Excel spreadsheet if you really needed to. Like, this is easy.
Yeah.
It's just a database. And the other thing, they show her going to, like, I don't know, like a Costco or something, and she is buying in bulk all the candy and popcorn and whatnot that they put on the shelves at this Blockbuster.
And movies.
Yeah, and that's right. Like, she would go and buy, apparently, like, if somebody says, oh, hey, like the movie Rad from the 80s. Like, oh, do you guys have Rad? And she would go and buy a copy of it so that they can rent it out at the store. That blew my mind.
And how big can this city, this town be? Isn't it odd that it's a tiny town?
Yeah.
That they're keeping this in business?
But then you wonder, is it now, because of what it is that the mom-and-pop store, essentially? I mean, it's not owned by a mom-and-pop, but it has that nostalgic, small, I can go and pick it up in my hands, tangible mom-and-pop feel to it.
I know it's even a beating to grab it off my shelf. I have a bunch of DVDs still. And just to take that off and then try to remember which one of my controllers starts our DVD player. And
I mean, the video store, having worked in one for 3 years, I loved the video store, and I missed that.
I always dreamed of working there.
It is as good as you dreamt it would be. The free movies. There was a time in my life where I was watching, I would guess, 7 to 10 movies a week.
Yeah. For sure.
Because I didn't have anything else going on.
Oh, yeah.
My freshman year of college, I actually went to community college. And I was the manager at a video village. All my friends had left and gone to real college. I probably watched 2 or 3 movies a day at that point.
And I know we keep talking movies, but for kids my age, it was a big video game rental store as well. Because, you know, you didn't want to pop $50 for a game. You can go rent it for 6 or 7 and get to like it a little bit before you buy it.
Do you ever used to buy the used games?
I did. I still do. Like, I buy used games off Amazon.
Other people's high scores around there and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we would do the thing, seeing some of the nostalgia in this, people would return videos and you wouldn't rewind them, and the please be kind rewind thing. We had rewind machines that you could stick the VHS in, and it would rewind it in about a minute.
You want to talk about a family dad getting mad? It was when you pop in the VHS and it wasn't rewound. You just got to sit there for 3 minutes, and then you got to hit stop so you don't see any of the movie while it's rewinding.
I remember a couple times starting a movie that wasn't rewound, and you see where it started.
Yeah.
And then we'd be watching the movie, and it kind of sucked. And it was about that spot where I was like, let's pop this. Oh, wow. This is where someone else also thought this movie sucked.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had that. And I don't know, just the whole, you know, Friday night and Saturday night, people, if you had a family, people went to the video store. And you would let kids pick out, and then the parents would come and be like, oh, hey, well, these are for the kids, and we're going to watch this when they go to bed. And we would, like, working at one, you'd get that all the time. You know, hey, what's a good movie we can watch when the kids are asleep? You know, that type of thing. There's that nostalgia to it. There's all that is gone that really kind of was like a communal place, and you'd see people that would talk, and they, hey, what do you like to watch? And those types of things.
You know what caught me that I had nostalgia for was the employee picks.
Yeah.
Like, people that worked at the store would have their list of their favorites.
Oh, that was a big deal, dude.
And for some reason, I would follow that. Like, like they were Siskel and Ebert. Like, oh, my God.
It was a really big deal. You wanted to make sure, like, oh, you want to put a new release. But also, if I put this up here, it shows how into movies I really am.
Yeah, something really cool.
You know, like,
not everybody knows about.
I put Bottle Rocket on mine all the time, the original Wes Anderson film. People are like, hey, is this any? I was like, it's filmed in Dallas, you know. So those are brothers from Dallas. You know, you'd get to shoot your movie knowledge off. And then people are like, wow, you really know a lot. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Help you get chicks?
I don't know.
Or you thought it would.
I thought that it did. I gave free rentals to probably too many fellow Rockwall girls in my class that it never mattered. I don't know. You want to hear?
They were whispering amongst each other, like, "I know how you can get a free movie."
Yeah, just go up there and
just flirt with him a little bit.
You don't even have to talk. Just say his name and the fact that you know his name. It's guaranteed free movies.
And they're like, "Who is he?"
You want to hear the weirdest thing that ever happened to me at the video store?
I do.
Okay. This happened when I was the manager. I came in after class one day, and the other manager is like, "Hey," I tell him, I was like, "Man, I keep hearing this noise." So during the day, like on a Monday, most people aren't going to the video store at noon to rent stuff. So this woman would come in and she'd go right to the bathroom, be in there for a few minutes and then leave without renting anything. And this happened a few days in a row. So finally I go back there and all I hear is this, like a, I think what everybody is thinking. I'm like, oh my God, like this lady is doing this. She's literally coming into this video store every day and doing this in the middle of the day. So I tell the main manager that runs all of them, and he goes, "Hey, you need to talk to her about this. We can't have somebody doing that in there." So I'm like a 19-year-old college kid. I don't want to confront this woman. So he goes, "No, you need to do it. That's part of being a manager." So the next day she comes in, she goes back there. I hear the noise again. So I confront her. I say, "Excuse me, ma'am." She just looks at me. I go, "You know, we can't just have you come in here using the bathroom and there's this weird noise and, you know, you need to rent a movie or something. We just can't allow for this." And she looks at me. She's like, "Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so sorry." She goes, she starts patting her boob. She's like, I'm a new mother and I'm coming in here to pump my, I don't," and she holds up these milk bottles. She's like, "I work at the bank next door, and I come here on my lunch break because I don't want to do it there." And I just am like, what? Now, at that point in my life, I don't know if I knew that was a thing that women needed to do that had babies. Never saw her again after that, though. And that is by far the weirdest thing I ever encountered in my time working at a video store. A woman who was pumping. And this happened every day, like 9 days in a row before I confronted her during the week.
All right. I'm going to think about that while we prepare for the 1:30 news next.